Welcome to the Zen Mind Show with Michelle and Dr. Pat, Rapid Zen Transformation. Are you looking for healing processes that require no financial investment? Then this show is your beacon of hope. Hi, I'm Michelle Carboni, a rapid transformational therapist with over 700 hours of training in hypnotherapy, coaching, trauma, and intuition. Together with Dr. Pat, we will be providing the resources and guidance you need to take meaningful steps towards your personal healing and growth. From mindfulness techniques to actionable wisdom, each episode will offer invaluable insights. Join us today as we explore the tools and practices that anyone can do and have access to. Join the Zen Revolution. Transform your life today. We are a community dedicated to supporting each other as we strive for a balanced and Zen-filled life. Stay tuned with me and Dr. Pat. The Zen Mind Show starts now.
Wow, everyone. I have to tell you, I am super excited to do this show with most amazing Michelle. And, you know, I get to work with almost all of our hosts, almost, Michelle, like 99%. There are some people that do their podcast, upload them. I never meet them. But I get to work with people. And one of the things that I love about this particular episode, and congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you on the Zen Mind Show. And the reason that this is so cool is because I start to incorporate things that get said to me in my life. So I start to look at them. Today, we're going to talk about, it's a syndrome. But it's a really important one. Whether you say Cassandra or Cassandra, if you're from New York, like me, you say Cassandra. Whatever you refer to, it is a syndrome. And there's a name for how you're feeling. But this feeling is something that transcends multiple places of our lives. And I have to tell you, and without going into a lot of detail, because I want to get into this and I want to define it, I had a moment of this recently. When a trademark or a brand that I've had since 2001, talked about in 2010, somebody must have heard the name. It's not even a real word, but somebody must have heard it and they picked it up and they're trying to trademark it. And I had this moment where I was preparing for this show and I was looking at the many, many things you're going to talk about today and the relationships we have with self-trust and self-love and the confidence we have in ourselves and how often something can trigger things so deep in us as if we were going to lose it all. Now, my friends and my business coaches would say, don't worry about it. Hello, but you guys, you're not me and they are not you. So let's talk about what the syndrome is and why ongoing traumatic relationships and these syndromes that happen, how quickly we can get triggered about what some people see as benign. I'm just going to say it right out of the gate, Michelle.
Yeah.
What some people think is benign, but they're not to us. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, in some ways, yes. You know, for a while, you know, most Cassies, as we call ourselves in one of my groups, the Cassies will think they're crazy because no one believes them and they stop trusting themselves. And it's, you know, when you don't trust yourself, how do you function in life? Then you're trying to get all this outside validation and people to tell you what to do, and then you're not living authentically, and that doesn't feel good. So I'll go into what it is for listeners who don't know. So the name Cassandra syndrome comes from Greek mythology. And Cassandra had made a deal with Apollo to get the gift of sight, i.e. be psychic, and she was 100% accurate. And then she didn't follow through with her deal, which was to sleep with him, of course, because it's Greek. And so he cursed her, and he cursed her with, he gave her the gift, but he said, no one will believe you. So if you can imagine going around and being like, hey, the sky's blue, and everybody's like, no, it's not, it's purple. You know, you start questioning your own reality. And the official description is the emotional experience of those who consistently offer valid insights or warnings, but are habitually discarded or disbelieved. And this is very common in spouses of individuals who have Asperger's or ASD. And Cassandra syndrome is really just due to the communication and social challenges that are associated with ASD. It's really, I don't see it as anyone's fault. Now, granted, when you wake up to what's going on, there's some healing that can take place. And whether your partner decides to participate in that, you know, that's another story. But, you know, those that have a partner with ASD find themselves feeling unheard or invalidated in spite of trying to express themselves. And, you know, the partner has issues responding to social cues and inadvertently is contributing to this experience of Cassandra syndrome. And then I've also found most women with Cassandra syndrome are actually all that I've talked to also have ongoing relationship trauma or ongoing traumatic relationship syndrome, which is kind of the other side of that in a way, because that's where you're going to get things like the feeling of walking on eggshells. You're having difficulty setting boundaries, you're feeling guilt or shame, fear of abandonment, your attachment styles coming into play, and all kinds of other things. So it's really, it's very impactful to someone's daily life to be in that type of relationship where they're, you know, the person that you would think loves you the most and is your spouse or your partner should believe what you say, and they don't. And it's very impactful to be in that experience. And it's not solely someone that's, you know, Asperger's or ASD as far as having a partner. It could be in any type of relationship, just, you know, when you're not able to see someone else's perspective or be open to what they're saying.
Yeah. But I want to really get to the point about this. And thank you for naming your group. Beautiful. And of course, if you know Greek mythology, you know the story of this. But there is a very important question that we need to talk about, because more people are impacted than they know. And I think that's what I love about what you're doing with this episode is you may think, no, not me, but let's talk about this. You know, what does happen in relationships really that shift us into a traumatic situation? Right. I don't want to underplay this, because there is so much that go on in relationships that are not talked about. You know, mm-hmm. We don't talk about them. Why? Well, first of all, don't want to be criticized. Don't want to be, you know, we don't want people to not validate our experience. And yet most people will say, like what was said to me, just get over it. Really? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this. What happens in these relationships? Talk about what your experience is.
You know, in my relationship, it was a lot of, you know, he just couldn't see where I was coming from, or I think he thought his memory was 100%, like a gift that he gave to a friend of ours was something I had made. And he had told the friend that he had made it. And I was like, no, remember, I made that one. And it was just like, because I was always being invalidated and not believed, I knew I was right. And I like had to prove it. And so you get in these situations where you turn into somebody that you don't know, you kind of lose yourself. And you're like, why am I acting like this? Like, I don't understand what's happening here. Like, I'm being a total bitch right now. And what's going on? Why am I acting like this? And, you know, so that was just, you know, a little example. And he did, you know, I think you go more into the ongoing traumatic relationship part. And, you know, he would tell me how I felt about things and not ask me how I felt and not believe me when I would say, no, I don't feel like that. This is how I feel. No, you don't. You know, and it was like, I think I know how I feel. can you just believe me? So, it's, you know, it's a lot of that not being able to see from other perspectives, I think. And that's the biggest contributor is just, you know, you're like, please believe me. And you want to yell and scream and throw a temper tantrum because nobody's listening to you. And like, that's just the worst experience, to not feel heard and seen. And, you know, as women, I think we fall into that because we are people pleasers a lot of times, and we don't have boundaries that are healthy, and we want that love. You know, I know my attachment style is disorganized and so, and more of the fearful and avoidant. And so it was like being with someone who doesn't want to talk about things was great for me. You know, but it's not great for a relationship. You need to have that communication and be able to express yourself and say, hey, when you did this, that mm-hmm. made me feel like this. Can we talk about it? And talk about it from a place of, not anger and hurt, but just kind of come together and say, let's have a discussion. Can you hear me, listen to me, and I want to listen to you, and let's get each other's perspectives. And that's when, I started practicing mindfulness very early, once I woke up to what was happening, because that really helped me see myself and know what I was going, what was happening in my mind. So it was really, I think that's important in the healing process.
Yeah. And I want to be really clear about this, because first of all, I want to thank you for having this conversation. It's a big one. There are so many stories coming out of the pandemic where I can't speak for men, so I can only speak for the women that I'm associated with. So many stories like this that are coming out where people don't know what to call it. They don't know where to put it, and I got a question not too long ago, and I said, here's the situation. And Michelle, I'd like you to comment on this. Yeah. Here's the situation. This is like the frog story. You put a frog in boiling water, it's just going to jump right out of there. It's gone. But this is more like the other version of it where, and please don't email me. I do not do this to frogs. This is just an example that people use. But you put a frog in cold water and you slowly boil up the water and the frog cooks to death. Now, that's what happens to us. You put us in a pot of cold water and you slowly turn it up and we cook to death. Unless, of course, it gets so hot that we can see it and do it. Is that a good analogy of this from where you sit?
Yeah, definitely. Because it's like slow little things. It's little boundaries, so it's like those small things. I don't want to go to that movie, but I'm going to go because he wants to, or I don't want to go to that restaurant, or, these little things that you don't feel like, okay, speaking up and saying, no, I don't want to do that. It's just these little tiny things that are innocuous. Where I go to eat doesn't really matter, but not expressing myself and giving my thoughts and opinions does matter. So it's definitely those slow things is where you're in the cold, and then it happens more often. It's the bigger things. In my case, putting up with not having sex for a year or 2 years and having shame around that. I mean, I didn't even tell my best friend for years, and we just don't know what's happening and we don't know how to talk about it because nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
So like, let's talk about it.
Yeah. And it's funny you said that, because our friends find out before we do. I mean, my friends knew my relationship was tanking like years before. And I asked them, how did you know? And they pointed out one thing, right? Here we go. You ready? Yeah. This is our friends. They said, okay, Pat, did you ever think that something was wrong, that on your anniversary date, your partner every year for like a decade did something else and took themselves remotely away for the weekend? And I'm like, but you see, I'm in the cold water, and look, I got a lot of tools, but sometimes when it comes to things of the heart, it doesn't matter how many tools you have. Isn't that why you're bringing this conversation out? And this what you do to help people?
Yeah, totally. And it's about like, and once you figure out things, once I was like, let me look at my attachment style. And I think this is huge. Growing up, my father created an environment. I love him, but he was alcoholic and he was a workaholic. And even if he was physically there, he wasn't there. He wasn't present with me. We didn't create a secure attachment. And what happens to us is we repeat those patterns. It's in our subconscious. When we're young, our subconscious is being programmed and we're just creating this feeling, and our minds will pick the familiar feeling, the familiar situation every time, even if it's a familiar hell. It will choose that because it's familiar. Oh, it didn't kill me, so it's okay. But like, no, that look, there's this unfamiliar thing, but it's heaven. Just go that way. And we don't realize that's what's happening. And so when we realize, okay, my mind chose what's familiar, what got recreated? Well, this dynamic of having a man in my life who didn't securely attach to me was what was normal. It was normal to have a man that couldn't connect to me emotionally or even sometimes intellectually, because he was much smarter than me. But it was like, it was familiar, so it was safe. And that desire to have someone to love you and to, you know, appear to take you in and care for you and love you. I mean, my husband was great. Some, you know, 85% of the time we had a good time, but that 15% over the years, I mean, we were together 25 years, slowly wore me down and slowly created a person that I wasn't. And I wasn't allowed to even know who I was anymore. I didn't even realize I didn't know who I was, but yeah, I definitely had friends who, same thing, were like, oh yeah, well, I didn't like the way he talked to you. And I was like, why didn't you say something? Yeah. And, you know, I think in some ways it's fine because I don't know that I would have believed them. And I think sometimes we're on our own journeys and we have to discover these things for ourselves so that we will take the steps we need to heal. Yeah. So, you know.
And there's no question about that. And that's really the body of what you do. We're going to take a really short break. But before we do, we're not just talking about something. I mean, you have created an entire platform for people to work with you, for people to find out more, for people who don't even know the questions to ask to get a hold of you. What is the best way for them to do that, Michelle?
So my website is just zenmindmichelle.com. I've created a program called Healing Cassandra, but I do work with couples and individuals, of course. Mm-hmm. You can do just hypnotherapy, you can do hypnotherapy and coaching, just coaching, you know, whatever is going to work for you. But yeah, my website's the best place. You can book a discovery call. It's 20 minutes with me. And we'll talk about your issue and how, you know, what I think the route to help you is and go from there.
I love it. And that's why we're talking about this, because for those of you out there that even know someone, please pay it forward, because this is the kind of thing that it's very difficult to seek out help on your own. I know, both of us know, Michelle and I both know. And something has to happen for us to really take a look and say, wait a minute, there's an abusive pattern here, but you may not know what to do. Just schedule a call. And there are no silly questions when it comes to this conversation.
Exactly.
There are none. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Michelle's going to talk about, what do you do? How do we help people realize that they are in a traumatic relationship? And it doesn't have to be exactly the way we just described it. There are like 50 shades of this, minimally 50 shades of trauma. Let's take a short break, everyone. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Join Erica Gifford Mills in her signature series, The Rooted Life. This virtual 12-week series will equip, empower, and enlighten you. This is a coaching series that allows both group and individual work. 12 weekly, 1-hour sessions in the comfort of your own home. Schedule your free Empower Hour now at GetRootedRadio.com. That is GetRootedRadio.com.
Living a life by design. It's the journey back to you and living 365 days of purpose with host Esther Graham. Tune in every second and fourth Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Discover that what is possible is already in you. God designed a phenomenal life for you. At Living a Life by Design, Esther helps you ignite the energy behind your personal journey. For more information, visit fddwomen.com.
Are you ready to create your marvelous life? As women, we can feel the pressure to make sure everyone else is okay before we take care of ourselves. That needs to stop. Hi, I'm spiritual coach Lori Jonas, and I'm empowering women to unleash their authentic selves and live marvelously. It's time to get clear on what you want in life. Check out my blog, coaching packages, manifestation journal, my book, The 5 L's of Living Marvelously, and more on my website, livingmarvelously.com.
Imagine living 100% intuitively, trusting with a deep inner confidence in the unknown and yourself. Tune into the Dawn of Intuition every first and third Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. This show is full of inspirational, motivational, and eye-opening aha moments. JD Kindred shares tips and tricks on how to listen to your intuition. Follow JD online at intuitivebusinessconnections.com. The Imagine living 100% intuitively, trusting with a deep inner confidence in the unknown and yourself. Living 100% intuitively, trusting. Imagine living 100% intuitively.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Most Amazing, the Zen Mind Show with Michelle. Rapid Zen transformation. Today, we're talking about the Cassandra syndrome. Is there a name for how you've been feeling? And, you know, sometimes there isn't, but, you know, thanks to Michelle, we are really putting it in a way. First of all, it makes it a little bit safer to talk about it, I think, Michelle, but what it does is it opens a door for you to be able to ask questions. And I just want to say this to y'all, you know, when you were in the soup of it, let's just call it, when you're in the soup of it, it's very difficult to pinpoint. And so you don't need to. The question is, how are you feeling? And if you're not feeling light and joyful, there could be something underneath that that is really causing you some pain. And so we want to help you remove that pain. And that's what you do, Michelle. So give out your website one more time, because we're going to get into now the solutions.
Yeah. So it's zenmindmichelle.com. So real easy. Facebook, Instagram, also same handle.
Okay, let's talk about some of the things we can do to help people heal, to move them along the way. And again, this particular show, you know, is a little bit shorter than, you know, you will need to have a conversation. That's why you can go to Michelle's website and schedule a call. And I'm going to say it again, nothing too silly. Don't worry about it. So what have you learned that can help people on their way here?
I mentioned mindfulness. And I think that's kind of the base sort of modality that everybody should or can get into to start their healing journey, because it's about being still. It's about being in a place of non-judgment. It's about noticing. It's about watching your thoughts. We are not our thoughts, but they can tell us where we're at. And, you know, honestly, like for me and many Cassies, we disassociate and we don't feel. For me, I wasn't really allowed to feel negative feelings growing up. So I just shoved anger down. I shoved sadness down. I didn't feel my feelings. And even just learning to feel your feelings, if I ask you, you know, how often do you get angry? How do you handle anger? And you tell me you're never angry, I'm going to say BS. You get angry. We all get angry. You can't tell me when you're driving down the highway that somebody doesn't cut you off and you get mad about it. So how are you handling that? And I don't get angry. Okay. Well, yes, you do. You're not feeling your feelings. Let's work on that. Right. But mindfulness can really help you even in that and in everything. And I think figuring out like why you ended up in the relationship you're at. So going back, looking at childhood, looking at how was the relationship with my parents. And I love my parents. My sister and I would actually argue about that. Our childhood was awesome. I don't know what you're talking about. But then I get into this work and I'm like, well, yeah, I wanted nothing more than to connect with my dad. And he just wasn't capable of that. And it is what it is. And I don't harbor ill feelings for him because of that. But, you know, it's about because of the work I've done, you know, forgiveness is a big part of the work too. And especially forgiving ourselves. So many women I've met are just beating themselves up because they're like, oh, I did this, I did that, I did this. And you're like, hey man, you were doing your best with what you had at the time. We exist and learn as we're growing. And if you grew up in an atmosphere that didn't give you that, oh, hey, this is how you feel your feelings, this is how you do that, well, you don't know how to do it. And that's okay. Don't hate yourself for that. So I think, you know, incorporating mindfulness is a really big step, but looking at your attachment style, looking at your love language, and learning how to express yourself and use your voice because you have it. So in my hypnotherapy practice, 99% of my clients in their transformation recording, I give them, you know, you have a voice. You say yes when you want to say yes. You say no when you want to say no, to kind of get rid of that people pleaser, because we all have a people pleaser in us pretty much in this society, or many of us do. And, you know, we need to get rid of that. I'm not here for you. I'm here for me, and I'm allowed to put myself first. And so getting in that space too, and like learning, okay, how can I do that? And recognizing that's what happened to you isn't your fault. You know, it's just, it's what was meant to happen by the universe or whatever, right? It's, you know, it's what your soul maybe wanted to experience, and that's okay. And now we're healing it, and now we're getting past it.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up, because we can spend decades in why.
Yes. Why? Yes.
Right. And what you're saying is, it's not that we're discounting your why. Nobody is doing that. Right. But if you want to get to the healing process and you want to get rid of whatever the heavy burden of the thing is, why will keep you there? It will help you get out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Letting go of the story, you know, we don't, and needing that validation or, you know, whatever it is, just letting it go, forgiving it, moving past it, because why do I want to sit here angry all the time? Like that doesn't feel good.
Yeah. I want to ask you about one particular thing that gets overlooked a lot of times, and that's our intuition. Okay. So we call it gut. It doesn't matter what you call it. It's the same deal. What role does that play as a little, what am I going to call it? A little alarm system for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our nervous system talks to us, you know, our intuition and nervous system are connected. So when you have those gut dropping and your heart racing and all of that, like your body's talking to you. I mean, one of my friends was like, you know, I'm trying to work things out with my husband, but every time he touches me, my body is just like pushing him away, and my body does not want him around. And I'm like, yeah, your body's telling you what your brain's not. Your body's talking to you and telling you, he's not for me. It's time to leave. You know, it's time to go. You don't want to be with someone who you can't physically be with comfortably.
Yeah. And I know one of the things you help folks with is one thing in particular. I want to make sure we mention it before the end of the show. And that is knowing you're worthy of having your needs met. So often we blow that off.
Oh, yeah. The worthiness conversation, I would say 99% of people have at some point the worthiness issue. I mean, I know that's a struggle for me. And the fact that you exist on this planet means you are worthy. I'm just going to tell you, I use Hitler as an example, but like even Hitler was worthy, you know. Did he do good things with his worthiness? No, but you know, he was still worthy as a human. And a lot of people would disagree with me, but when you've done the work that I've done on healing, you can get to a place where you go, yeah, Hitler was worthy as a soul. His physical body just didn't do great things here.
I mean, I think what we're saying is we're all given an opportunity as we're brought into this world to do good deeds. We're all given that opportunity, and the choices we make a long time either put us in the good deed category, I'm really simplifying this, or put us in a situation where we do harm to others. And, you know, so we're not talking about that. You know, even if you're somebody that's thinking, well, I was a contributor, I just want to say it. Even if you're thinking I contributed, call Michelle anyway, because that story that we tell ourselves is not the thing that you should be looking at to hold you back from your freedom. That's what we do. We say, oh, but I'm to blame. And then we don't take action. Michelle, thank you for today. What is your what do you want to leave us with? What is your personal message for today?
You know, I think it's important to remember that healing's a journey, and you're going to have ups and downs, and you need to be open to seeing those patterns that you're living in, see your role, because we all have a role in what's happening, and see the role of the other person, but know that it's not their fault. It's the only thing we can change is us. It's not our responsibility to change someone else. So working with someone, having support system, friends, family, me, whatever, you know, is really important to healing that, and just being open to discovering yourself and, you know, knowing yourself and your true self, and knowing that you are worthy.
Michelle, thank you so much for having this be your first episode, because it's an important one. And we are now starting to get the data in on what has been happening over the past 4 years. We're just barely scratching the surface to see, especially for women, how they're emerging on the other side of this. Mm-hmm. And some of the stories, the anecdotal stories, are horrific. They really are. And So thank you for coming out in the world and holding your hand out for those people that really don't have another place to go. Thank you. Please give out your website one last time.
It's zenmindmichelle.com.
There you go. And thank you all for tuning us in and turning us on. There's going to be much more coming from Michelle, but this one is important, because is there a name for how you've been feeling? You bet. Are you permitted to feel this? It's questionable in society, but we're giving you permission. Thank you all for tuning us in and turning us on. We'll see you next time.
Are you striving for a balanced and Zen-filled life? The Zen Mind Show with Michelle and Dr. Pat is your beacon of hope. Tune in the first Tuesday of each month at 11:30 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio for healing processes that do not require financial investment. Imagine a space where you can not only listen, but actively participate. Soon we'll open our lines for call-ins, offering direct coaching to help you navigate challenges and accelerate your transformation. For more information, visit www.zenmindmichelle.com.